Our text for this morning is Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4. Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. But abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. If you walked into a barn and saw that its stalls were perfectly clean, no straw scattered across the floor, no feed spilled in the trough, no manure anywhere. First glance, it's kind of impressive. Someone's clearly kept things tidy. Everything's neat. Everything appears to be under control. But anyone familiar with farm life would recognize immediately what that meant. The clean stall almost always meant that there was no animal inside. And for a farmer in the ancient world, that observation would carry an obvious implication. There's no ox? Well, then there's no plowing to be done. And if there's no plowing, well, then you have no harvest coming. The stall might look tidy, but to their eyes, the stall would look empty. The cleanness is not a sign of productivity. It is a sign that nothing is happening. And at first glance, the proverb almost sounds a bit obvious. Of course, a stall is clean where there is no animal in it. Of course, a field is plowed where there is no strength, where there is strength to pull that plow. But the wisdom of Proverbs is to stop and linger a little bit longer, beyond the obvious. This small observation about a barn turns out to say something surprisingly revealing about the way that we often wish that we can live our own lives. Many of us instinctively try to build lives that resemble a clean stall. We try to remove the things that create strain. We try to eliminate inconvenience. We try to construct lives that run really smoothly and remain comfortably under our own control. But our text exposes a tension right there, a dynamic that we often are simply trying to avoid. And the tension is this: the very things that complicate our lives are often the very things through which God produces fruit. A life that strays perfectly tidy is a life that rarely produces much fruit. And this little proverb brings us to a barn stall, and then it asks you a question. Do you want the clean stall, or do you want the harvest? And this text unfolds for us in three movements this morning, we'll see. First, we see the clean stall, and then we'll see the cost of strength. Finally, we're confronted with the wise choice. Let's take a look at the clean stall. Again, the Proverbs begins with a simple observation. Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. The floor stays neat because nothing's happening inside. The stall is clean because, fundamentally, it's unused. So the text does not praise that condition. It simply observes it. And that is what makes the proverb a little bit subtle. A clean stall can look peaceful. It can look orderly. But it is peaceful because there is no activity, no productivity, and no life connected to it. It's the kind of order that comes from subtraction. Remove the ox, you remove the mess. Remove the responsibility, and you remove the strain. Remove the risk, you also might remove the disappointment. But when you remove those things, you are also removing the possibility of fruit. So really, it's only the illusion of cleanness. There's a kind of peace that we think can come from withdrawal, but it will always result in loss. We can construct lives that feel manageable simply because we have quietly eliminated the things that might demand strength from us. So think of the logic of this proverb if you replace the images. Where there are no children, The bedrooms are clean. The laughter and the energy and the life of a home come through the presence of children. Where there are no people, there are no people problems. And your church can run pretty smoothly. But the kingdom of God grows through people, and people inevitably bring complications. Kids and teenagers, where there is no work, where there is no effort, where there is no ambition or no discipline, self-control, then there's no gaining of responsibility. And quietly, slowly, no one gives you authority. This touches many areas of our life. Perhaps in marriage, sometimes you can see it this way. Someone might say, we really don't argue anymore. Well, that might mean because as a couple, you have matured and you've learned to communicate well. But it also might mean that you've stopped engaging with each other. It might mean that difficult conversations are avoided rather than addressed. A clean but unused stall is the one we choose over the one that is used. So the temptation here can be to pursue control rather than fruitfulness or formation. For example, in parenting, it's easier to enforce behavior than to try to cultivate a child's heart. Raising children requires patience and repetition and often frustration. It requires long work in shaping character. It's difficult. It's often untidy, but it is necessary and glorious. In church life, the easiest way to avoid relational tension is to simply kind of stay in the margins of relationships. If you never become too deeply involved, then you rarely experience conflict. But you also rarely experience deep fellowship. We do this personally as well in our own spiritual lives. If you never feel the messy stall of repentance, if prayer never costs you time and attention, if confronting sin is never uncomfortable, never brings discomfort, perhaps it's a sign that your spiritual life is not flourishing. It might be a sign that nothing's really being challenged at all. These areas of my life don't really bother me. They don't seem particularly messy. Perhaps it's because they're simply unused. So the Proverbs presses a question. Is my life clean but empty? And do I want it to stay that way? Does my frustration with all this inconvenience reveal the things that I really value? Am I more disturbed by the disorder that I see than by the possibility of all the fruitfulness? So this proverb kind of sneakily critiques a false peace. Clean but unproductive. Orderly but barren. Because what the proverb is saying is that in God's world, fruitfulness always comes at a cost. If you remove the ox to keep the stall clean, you remove the harvest. But the verse does not stop with simply what is missing. It moves on, and the focus is on what it produces. So the second point to notice is the costly strength. The second line of the proverb says, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. The stall may be clean without the ox, but the harvest never comes without it. The text assumes something important. Abundance is a good thing. Fruitfulness is a good thing. God delights in fruitfulness, and fruitfulness comes through means. That small word, by, carries an immense, tremendous significance. Abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. The ox is the instrument through which the harvest is produced. And this is reflecting something for us in the way that God has structured the world. God ordains not only the ends, but he also ordains the means. The means by which those things are accomplished. He could produce crops without oxygen, without oxen. Ordinarily, he does not. He uses strength to bring about fruit. And this strength, this force multiplier in our lives, costs us labor. The ox must be fed. The ox must be guided around. The ox must be worked and cleaned. The ox takes presence and responsibility. But the harvest comes by the strength of the ox. Not despite the ox, not around the ox, the productivity comes through the ox. And this is the biblical doctrine that God works through secondary causes. It reflects the way that God has structured the world, ordaining not only the ends, but the means by which those ends are accomplished. God could raise children to maturity without the long work of your parenting. But you know what? Ordinarily, he does not. He uses years of your life for teaching and correcting and changing diapers and encouraging and nurturing and loving. God could grow believers instantly, but ordinarily he does not. He shapes his people through the slow work of discipleship and shepherding, scripture and prayer and daily practice of obedience. God has built his church without ordinary ministry, but ordinarily he does not. He strengthens his people through preaching and through the sacrament and through the gathering together as a body. And again, Scripture shows the same pattern. God produces fruit through appointed instruments. So the proverb is not just saying, listen carefully, it's not just saying fruit requires inconvenience. It's saying something a little bit more. God has ordained that fruit comes through instruments that require labor and maintenance. The ox is not just to be seen as a necessary nuisance. The ox is also part of God's design for the harvest. The ox is not merely an inconvenience attached to the harvest. The ox is the God-appointed instrument of that harvest. God has ordained that fruit grow through strength that must be fed and maintained and endured. So the central problem to see then is not only that fruitfulness carries a cost, the problem is that we often prefer comfort to the fruit. So we do not merely misunderstand God's design. The proverb hits us because we actively resist it. It's not that we just don't understand it. It's that we work against it. So that means that the path to fruitfulness feels demanding. The relationships that grow the deepest require things like patience. Spiritual habits that strengthen faith require discipline. Ministries that bear fruit require long-suffering and perseverance. This is where the proverb begins to press into our lives. We often try to eliminate the very things that would make us fruitful. We remove the ox in order to preserve comfort. We do this things like we reduce commitments. We avoid difficult conversations. We delay or sidestep responsibilities. And then sometimes you step back and look at your life and go, I wonder why that particular field is empty. Why my relationships feel shallow. Why spiritually my life feels a bit stagnant. Proverb offers a simple explanation. In God's world, fruitfulness always carries a cost. And very often the cost is visible long before the fruit is. That is to say that you see the cost as close and imminent, while the fruit seems tantalizingly far off. When the ox is in the stall, what you see first is work. You see labor, you see manure, you see inconvenience. You're not seeing the ox as strength, you're just seeing what it leaves behind. The harvest is still out there buried in the field. So it's really quite a practical question on the dynamic of Christian faith. Faith trusts that God is working through the means that he has appointed, even when the fruit has not yet appeared. Faith believes that the labor is not wasted and that the inconvenience itself is not pointless. And that God often brings life through that very process that feels so slow and so costly. The eyes of the flesh see all the mess in the stall, but the eyes of faith see a harvest that God is preparing in the field. And now the proverb does something else. It forces a decision upon you. This is the wise choice. The verse as a whole presents a tension. On the one side, a clean stall. On the other side, a harvest. A clean stall is tidy, but it's barren. The harvest comes through the strength of the ox. So the tension is this. You cannot have long-term abundance without short-term inconvenience. And wisdom recognizes and then accepts that whole structure. And this is where the real struggle begins. Because we often resist the way that God structures his world. We want fruit without inconvenience, growth without strain, and resurrection without death. So before we go further, I want to clarify something. The point of this proverb is not to say that mess is good. The point is to say that fruit-bearing strength inevitably produces secondary disorder. The proverb is not a shallow, kitschy, embrace the mess. Doesn't praise manure, doesn't praise dirt, doesn't praise chaos. The focus is that it praises fruitfulness. What it celebrates is the harvest. It celebrates the wisdom that understands that the point and purpose of the mess. The mess is incidental. Fruit is the goal. The beauty is in the harvest that the manure accompanies, not the manure. And that distinction matters because we can hear this, and you can feel completely exhausted by all the realities in your life right now. Your home is loud. Your days feel chaotic. Responsibilities are piling up faster than you can manage them. Some days, most days, I bet you that does not feel like fruitfulness. It feels like survival. This proverb reminds us where real life and growth are happening, things are rarely tidy. Stall is messy because an ox is there. Your life is noisy because something alive is happening there. It's true in parenting, but it's also true in discipleship, in ministry, sanctification, where growth is taking place, inconvenience is close behind. And one of the places this dynamic quietly shows up in our lives is the way we talk about our lives. Think about how this happens in ordinary conversation when someone runs into you and they say, hey, how are you? How are things going? And we answer, really, really busy. Things are just crazy right now. And I get it. But our minds immediately go to the strain. Our minds immediately go to the long week, the difficult conversations, the responsibilities that are growing. And sometimes if you step back, you were to look a little more carefully, the very things we describe as crazy are actually the very places where God has entrusted to you the most meaningful responsibilities. We focus on the mess in the stall. We forget that the ox is there. We see the inconvenience. We miss that the harvest God may be preparing or is preparing through it. Parent might speak of how exhausting the children are without pausing to see what an extraordinary privilege shaping lives is for those eternal souls. Someone serving in the church might speak only about the frustrations of ministry without remembering the total miracle it is that God is using ordinary people to build his kingdom. I think we talk about this in our own spiritual disciplines. We might speak about how difficult things feel spiritually for us right now, or how hard it is to pray, how hard it is to fight sin, without necessarily remembering that the very struggles are often evidence of the Spirit's work in your life. God is not letting you go. God is sanctifying you, working in you. So I think our speech betrays us a little bit sometimes. It reveals that we've lost sight of a harvest. We talk as though the mess is the entire story, but Proverbs brings us back to see more clearly that strain's not meaningless. It's part of the way that God produces fruit. And it's why gratitude begins to reshape the way you see your own life. Gratitude doesn't trivialize things to pretend that they're easy. Gratitude is recognizing that God is at work even when the work itself is difficult. Gratitude looks at the stall and remembers the field. It looks at the labor, remembering the harvest. It looks at the cost, remembers that God brings fruit through costly means. So instead of only saying things are exhausting, we begin to say things this way. This season is demanding, but you know what? I see that God is really working in me. Instead of always feeling my life just feels so messy, we begin to say, this is hard, but I think God's tilling up some really deep, good ground in my life. I'm doing some growth here. Sometimes the cost we experience is not necessarily things that we choose for ourselves. It's sort of forced upon us, but it's a hardship that God allows because he loves you and he's growing you. And even then, the scripture reminds us that God often works through difficult means to produce things we can't see. It trains us with eyes of optimistic faith. To my eyes, no longer looks like mess, it's the refiner's fire. Instead of seeing only inconvenience, we begin to see it as a privilege. We see grace. We see the stall as a great transfer of God's wealth to us. And more mess, sometimes, should be seen as a promotion. Because in God's world, fruitfulness always carries a cost. And we remember, when we think about that, remember the way God has made his world, even the way we speak begins to change. Wisdom reshapes perspective and gratitude begins to grow right in the middle of that difficulty that would otherwise overwhelm you. At the same time, wisdom also requires discernment. This proverb does not glorify chaos and nor does it condemn cleanliness. It does not guarantee that every difficult situation is fruitful. Sometimes a mess is a result of your sin. Sometimes a mess is a result of foolishness. Sometimes a mess is a result of faithful strength. Proverbs teach you discernment. Wisdom learns to see the difference. It's also exposing something deeper about ourselves, where we often resist the very thing that God intends for our good. The wisdom of the Proverbs teaches how God has knitted the fabric of this world to be played out in our own lives. Because the gospel reveals the one who embraced the very structure of this proverb in order to redeem us. The problem is not merely that we understand God's design. Again, the problem is that we often resist his design. We want growth without strain and resurrection without death. This proverb is a bit like picking up a rock in your yard and seeing all the bugs underneath. When we lift it up, we thought this clean, tidy rock was just control, just ease, just kind of doing our part. But what we find underneath are a lot of worms of complaint and stress and anxiety centered around the very things that God uses to build. And those worms show us our own weakness. They expose to us how we think about work and about stewardship and about responsibilities. All things in our lives to be avoided and managed, not embraced and not believed. But Jesus truly embodies this. Even the way he entered the world, born in a manger, a feeding trough for animals, not polished, not impressive, as Philippians 2 reminds us, he humbled himself by becoming just a human, just so humbling, humiliating is almost the word. In that humble beginning, God began the work that would bring salvation to the entire world. And later Jesus explains the same principle when he says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and it dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it will bear much fruit. And Christ here is not merely our example. He's not just teaching us as a teaching tool. His obedience here matters. His work of costly fruitfulness becomes the source of your fruitfulness and my fruitfulness. The cross looked like the messy stall. It looked like weakness. It looked incidental. It looked like failure. It looked like death. But the greatest harvest has come through that death. This proverb is not simply calling you to endure difficulty or embrace the mess. We do not earn the kingdom through effort and perspective shift, but we do bear fruit through Christ. And in his work, we are united to him. Our patience, our humility, our faith, our meekness, our long-suffering, these are not achievements in our own strength. They are fruit of his life at work in us. Christ himself plowed that field. And the harvest that is at work in us is what we will remember at the table this morning as we come and prepare our hearts. This bread reminds us of his body that was given for us. This cup reminds us of his blood that was shed for us. That what looked like loss was the very means of a harvest of salvation. So for the Christian who are united to Christ and are called to take up our own cross, we do not shrink from God-ordained strength simply because it complicates our own lives. Because if you remove the ox to keep the stall clean, you may remove the very thing that God intends for your fruitfulness. You can have a clean stall or you can have a harvest. But in God's world, you will not get the harvest without the strength. Because in God's world, fruitfulness will always carry a cost.